Hello everyone, it's Father Jim. I'm thinking about the readings for the fifth Sunday of Easter, and it's the occasion the Holy Father is going to visit America. And we wish him well and hope he has a wonderful reception and that he inspires that great generous country. The early church seems ideal, though they did have their problems. People met in each other's houses. They didn't have churches or mortgages in that sense. They went to the temple while the temple was still there, because the early church was mostly Jewish, until they were amazed that Samaritans, if you please, had faith. Let's always be surprised who gets called by the Lord. Let's have our noses put out, because people we didn't expect suddenly have greater faith than I have. But on the whole, they shared their goods gladly. If they had some property, they sold it. And, which is very significant, they shared the proceeds for those who were in need. Now, often proceeds don't go to those in need. They go to people who don't need them. I remember years ago, Downing Street in London had a terrific party, of course paid by the taxpayers. And all the VIPs were invited, who didn't need a free party. They could have afforded to buy their own dinner. The poor weren't invited. It was all the vulgar people who've got too much money, they didn't know what to do with. And this can happen all over the world, where the goods that are shared tend not to be given to those in need, but to those who don't need them. It's very vulgar. It's very unlike the early church. And they prayed together, and they listened to the preaching of the apostles, and everyone thought, wow, don't these Christians love each other? Wouldn't that be wonderful if they could still say that today? But they did have problems. There were some complaints, because some people were getting left out. Some ethnic group or some cultural group were sort of marginalized. So what did they do? The apostles thought, well, we were too busy praying and thinking of the gospel to do all these important things. We must have some deacons. So they had some deacons. And in the church now, the shepherds aren't just the Pope or just the bishops and just the priests. Every baptized person must take responsibility for the church, for our own little patch, and make sure that anything we share, we always think of those who are in need. So our Lord said, when you have a banquet, don't invite the rich. They don't need it. Invite the poor, who can't repay you. And so it's a very important principle. I hope the Holy Father reminds us all that the goods of the world are the commonwealth and are there for those in need, not for those who don't need it. We found that the early church grew. So that's the first reading. The second reading refers to our Lord as a living stone, rejected, but actually has become the keystone or the cornerstone. And I remember looking at a building site in New York, and I looked over the parapet and saw rock. And Manhattan, it seemed to me, was built on a very big rock. And so it didn't take too long to build the foundations, which were already there. And so the skyscrapers went up very quickly. But usually you have to spend a lot of time on the foundations of a building. If there isn't rock there, you have to make concrete. And often you might think on this building site, I don't think anything's happening. It just seemed to take ages. We thought the building would be up by now. But it takes a long time to build foundations. And once the foundations are there, it's amazing how quickly the building rises. And the foundation, you find, isn't usually seen. It's under the pavements, it's under the sidewalks. And if our Lord is the rock on which the whole church is built, you don't often see him. But but he's there holding everything together. And some of the greatest people in the church aren't often seen. I mean, I might be a little brick tucked away in a building. I'm not part of the facade. There are some who are the facade. Everyone sees them and thinks, oh, looks like a gargoyle. But most of us are somewhere in that building, unnoticed, unseen, but somehow keeping the whole thing together and doing our little piece. And in the early church, when the foundations were being laid, it took a very long time for the church to get its foundations and its theology going. We have to be so grateful to the fathers of the church, the early members of the church, who, amid great persecution and discussion, somehow tried to make sense in human terms of divine mysteries. So what I'm saying is, America has been populated for 10,000 years. It has had a great history. Don't let's just see American history as happening since the founding fathers. It's much older than that. The foundations of America before any Europeans arrived. The beautiful land that was kept for 10,000 years so well by the native peoples. What I'm saying is, let's love our history. And don't just localize it since the beginning of the Vatican Council or the arrival of the fathers, founding fathers. Let's love the history that goes back 14,000 million years, if you please, if you believe the Big Bang Theory. So I'm thinking of the history of the church, the history of the world, and I'm thinking of history teachers who I hope are helping people to love their history. Because each person's history is a grace that's brought us safe thus far. And if we really care for each other, it'll be a grace that leads us home. Amen.